Matthew chapter 24 for a few minutes. And all this stuff going on is not by coincidence. That's all going on in the world. It's preparation. It's preparation for what's coming. And you say, man, what's coming? Well, the Lord's coming back. That's what's coming. And you say, when? I don't know. I know it has to be getting closer. And what happens is it comes in steps. We went a couple Sunday nights ago, we went through Matthew chapter 25. Brother Ken talked about the 10 virgins. That's in the tribulation. And for people to understand their Bible, you've got to rightly divide it. And the book of Matthew, I want you to remember something. When you're reading the book of Matthew, it's a transitional book. And we talked about the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. They were both there on the earth when Jesus Christ was on the planet. And the Lord mentions about the kingdom of God, and then he mentions about the kingdom of heaven. But whenever he mentions the kingdom of God, he's talking about what's within you, or he's talking about God's kingdom, the third kingdom, or the third heaven. And that's where the kingdom of God is. You say, how do you know that's there? You got the first heaven, which is atmosphere, where the birds fly. Second heaven is the stars and planets. But the third heaven is where God's throne is. And it's not like the Mormons teach. My son-in-law said he rode by the Beltway and saw that Mormon tabernacle, saw that angel Moroni up there, supposed to be solid gold and all that. And the Mormons, they try to claim that they're from the tribe of Ephraim. And they have to wear special garments when they go in this temple. They've got to be silk. Like in Old Testament, the Jews, the high priest could not go in and do the service of the Lord with cotton on because they couldn't sweat. So they're trying to mimic what the Old Testament Jews did. But look at Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew 24, it's a preparation. And Matthew is a book, it's a transitional book, just like the book of Acts is. And the book of Acts is a transitional book. And when the Hebrews is another transitional book. So when you read Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews, you're finding some things. You say, what in the world? But some of these things are transitional. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about Jesus there asking Jesus about the temple. And we got to see the temple and talk about the stones being laid upon one another and all that stuff. Them stones are huge. And they're probably about... 10 foot by 30, 40 foot long, some of them stones. And the Roman emperor came and tore them down because they thought there was gold within them stones or gold buried under the ground of the temple. So they started tearing it up. It was a rumor started, and they started tearing it up. And look what Matthew 24 talks about. It's going at first a part of the church age, and then it goes into the prophecy about the tribulation period. And we've talked about the tribulation being a seven-year period, which God deals with Israel and the world, and it's called Daniel's 70th week, and when you read your Bible. So it's important to get your Bible right and to get it rightly divided so you'll know what you're talking about. And it says, and Jesus went out, verse 1, and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And the temple was beautiful. It was beautiful. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And this is like in 33 AD, Jesus Christ says, do you see the temple? He says, see that thing? And it was built, and they said when they built that temple, you didn't hear a hammer, you didn't hear nails being hit, or none of that. It was all put together and fashioned before it got to the Temple Mount. And when it got to the Temple Mount, they put it up there. The men did. They stacked that thing. Somehow they did some ingenuity and being able to use some kind of crane or some sort, and they stacked that thing, put it together, and it was huge. It was a huge temple. And so right when the Jews got exiled over to Babylon and the Medes and the Persians, and you read about that, about the Persians allowed Nehemiah and Ezra to go back, and they rebuilt the wall and then the temple. When you're reading that, that's a second temple being rebuilt. Now, the third temple had not been rebuilt yet. It hadn't been built yet. So when, Nero that in 70 AD knocked it completely down and destroyed it and destroyed that thing. So the third temple is getting ready. They got everything right now, getting ready to rebuild that thing. So all this stuff that you see going in the world, you say the world's going crazy, man. The pandemic, I wanted to read this to you about the Pope. The Pope is setting up his thing so the Antichrist can come in and take over. And you say that's not pretty good to talk about on Wednesday night. But yeah, you need to have your eyes open. You need to know what's coming. And it says the Pope using the pandemic to beat the drum for unity. You hear about now, you're going to hear a lot about unity. The Black Lives Matter, that thing, it's not a really, there's some men that's been on CNN and everything, they just blew Black Lives. These are black men in the sports industry, and they blew Black Matters, the whole industry apart, because they said they really don't care about black people. They don't care. If they did, they would be in Chicago and New York trying to stop them from killing little girls, 8 years old and 9 years old, and kids, all black on black crime. If they cared about it, they don't care about it. They don't care about black people killing black people. What they care about is pushing an agenda. The agenda is being pushed all over the world. And you look at China. China's got something going on. They said now something else is going on with China. China, you know what? China's going to be around. They've been around for 5,000 years. Guess what? They're mentioned as the kings of the East coming against Jerusalem. So, folks, you said, what are you talking about? Man? We're getting close, man. And to stick your head in the sand and think, well, you know, I just got to take care of you. Get all worked up over the news. I don't get worked up over the news. I'm watching this stuff. I'm thinking, my God, man, all this stuff is happening in the world and people are going crazy. And they're pushing these agendas and trying to make pass laws, trying to do away with the Constitution of the United States so they can make a one world government. That's what it's coming down to it. It's going to come down to one world government. And the Pope's behind the whole thing. He's pushing the thing. Why? Because he's going to be the false prophet. I mean, it's setting up. It's setting up right now. It says many of the powerful in this war, this is from Jack Chick, Battle Cry, he says, are trying to leverage the corona pandemic to their own advantage. Not the least of these is the Pope. Posing as the champion of Christianity, he is proposing that the time has come to eliminate inequalities, to heal the injustice that is undermining the health of the entire human race. Pope Francis further commented, let us welcome this time of trial as an opportunity to prepare for our collective future, because without all embracing vision, there will be no future for anyone. The Pope also decried the possibility of a selfishness indifference replacing the COVID-19 when it's tamed. The ideology behind these comments is directly in line with the Pope's background as the Archbishop of Latin America. Terms like inequality, injustice, collective future, all exposed to thinly discussed virtue over basic Marxism incorporated into Catholicism under the name of liberation theology. The most graphic example of the results of this liberation is complete destruction of Venezuela's prosperity and Cuba's lost generation to spiritual bondage. As we march towards the era of the Antichrist, it is increasingly evident that Marxism will be the political dimension of the one world government. It's neatly incorporated some of Satan's basic lies, foundational to all of its atheistic evolution, which declares there is no need for God because man is mutating continually to a higher level of perfection and only needs the right environment to thrive. Of course, they believe that the easiest way to achieve the correct environment is to put the government in charge of everything. The beloved hearts of these elite leaders will then provide security and prosperity for the whole new world order. Of course, anyone, isn't it something that, who was the first one that said the new world order, our president? It was George Bush. He said, we're going to have a new world order. When Trump came in, he threw a wrench in the whole thing and said, we're nationalists. And so they were pushing for this new world order. Everybody come together, be a one world government. Just like in Genesis 10, they wanted to build their city towards God or get up to see God. And it says the pandemic also showcased the Pope's dedication to ecumenicalism. He proclaims May 14th as the global day of fasting, prayer, and doing works of charity by all believers together. Believers of the different traditions, he has already come out as a proponent of any interreligious day of prayer. In 2019, he visited the United Arab Emirates, where he consigned with the Sheikh and the Grand Imam and a document on human fidelity for world peace and living together. This agreement called for a global prayer seen by events by all believers, regardless of the religious tradition. Such prayer events trend primarily to plead for God to step in, genie's fashion, and fix our problems instead of deep repentance for the abomination that we throw in God's face every day. How long will we continue to ask amiss so that we can consume upon our own lust. So this guy wrote this article. He's saying this whole thing is set up, and the Pope's trying to use it for his advantage to bring about a one world global unity, and as the Roman Catholic Church be the number one religion. And that's what the whole thing's about. So when you read Matthew, you're reading through here and you're reading all this stuff, you think, look what it says, talking about the Jews. With me and Clinton was talking today about some of this stuff. But look at here, back to Matthew 24 and verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming into the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. There's Jim Jones, you got the Pope, you got all these different religious leaders. I am the Christ. And who else was it? David Koresh, a bunch of others. And every one of these bloody killers, every one of these guys that want to try to tell you that they're the Christ, they want to take the Bible away from you. You know what the Roman Catholic Church wants to do? Take the Bible away from you. Every religion wants to take the Bible away from you. They say, you can't understand the Bible. So if you read about the Dark Ages, read what the Catholic Church did to people that was caught reading the Bible. And when you read the Bible makes individuals out of you. It makes individuals, and you can make up your own mind. But what happens is religion tries to force it down your throat. So look at here. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. We've been seeing that for hundreds of years. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine. There's famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And what's happening is it's increasing. The stuff is increasing. America is a great nation. I mean, you think about Russia. Russia is a great power, but they don't have the supplies that America has, the food, the things that we have, all the different freedoms that we have. They don't have that. China, they don't have that. China, if you get the coronavirus, they don't ever see you again. They end up taking you to a concentration camp or whatever. They get rid of you. And thank God for America. We still have freedom. Amen. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up, talking about the Jews. Isn't it something that all these Antifa and all these other Black Lives Matter, they're anti-Semitic. They're all against the Jew. They're against them. And you got to watch out for any organization. The Ku Klux Klan, they were against the Jew. Was a Black Power in the 1960s. They were against the Jew. Why is all these people against the Jew? Why? It's, look out, man. When you start messing around talking about the Jew, and you say, are the Jews saved? No, they're not saved. Their Messiah is Jewish, and they're not saved. They need to come to the Messiah just like you and I do, Jew or Gentile. The Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church of God. So then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. The Lord's prophesied, okay, this is going to happen. You're going to be hated. Adolf Hitler hated the Jews. Mussolini hated the Jews. The French president hated the Jews. They blamed the Jews. During the Dark Ages and the plagues that came upon nations, they blamed the Jews. They blamed the Jews for everything. And you say, well, the Jews are in power. Yes, they're in powerful places, the Jews are. You got in Hollywood, you look at all the movies being made. It's Bernstein, all the different names, I can't think of some, but all of them, but there's Bernstein, all these ones that are coming up with these horror movies and all that stuff, Jews. Do you know who invented the atomic bomb? A Jew. Jew. You know most of your medicines come from? From Jewish. They, scientists. They figure it out. The Lord gives them ability. They're hated, though. So why would they hate them? They hate them because they're God's chosen people, and the devil knows it. The people think, well, this is just about this one little place in America. It's a big picture. The God of this world hates God, and he hates, the God of this world is the devil, hates the Jew, hates Christians. And it says, and then shall they many of be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. What do you think is going on in America? Hating one another, people hating. They watch the news. If you watch the news long enough, you'll hate black folks, you'll hate white folks, you'll hate Asians, you'll hate all kinds of people. You know what? I don't hate nobody. I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to kill nobody. I want to see them saved. That's what the attitude for every Christian ought to be. You ought to want to see people saved. You shouldn't say, I hate black people, I hate white people, I hate Asian people. I hate that. You don't hate. You shouldn't hate. You should love them and pray for them. Pray God save them. If you care about people, you witness to them. And what happens is the division that's coming in America, and people watching the news, the devil's trying to divide. The Bible says he's come to seek and destroy. And it says, and then shall be many offended, and shall betray one of another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax what? Cold. You ever find yourself? You got to examine yourself. When you come to church, man, you got to examine yourself. Am I cold towards God? Am I cold towards the songs that we're singing? I have to examine myself. I'm up here pacing back and forth. I'm saying, Lord, I want to feel you. I want you to be real. I want to know that you're here. I want to know it. I don't want to just come in here and go. What happens is if you do that, it won't be long. You'll be out the door. And man, God's real. He's alive. You know what God will do? He'll sometimes let you alone to see how you're going to handle things. Decisions you make. A lot of people make bad decisions. And he'll leave you alone for a little bit. So, and when's the last time you prayed about it? You know what I find in the Bible? You read your Bible, you find people make decisions. They never prayed about it. They make a mess out of things. You better pray. You better pray. So love of many shall wax cold. Have you waxed cold towards the Lord? Towards each other? Have you waxed cold, you know? Thank God we got preaching in our church, man. We got to believe the Bible. We sing praises to God. I want it to stir me. I want to be stirred up. But what happens is sometimes you come in and say, I've heard that before. We sang that song before. We sang that same song last week. Who cares? Who cares if we sang it last week? It should still stir our hearts. Should do something for us. I don't want to get cold. I know the Lord said in Revelation, He said, I'd rather for you be hot or cold, rather than lukewarm. I don't even want to be lukewarm. I want to be hot. I've witnessed to a lady. I went to get my knee looked at the other day, and I witnessed a lady. I was getting ready to leave. I gave her a tract, and she said, I'm Pastor Faith. She goes, are y'all open? I said, yeah, we've been open. She said, we haven't been open. She goes to another church, a Baptist church, and she said, we haven't been open. I said, well, come on by and visit with us. I'm not trying to sheep steal, but you want to come by and visit with us? We'd love to have you. I said, we still seeing people get saved. Praise the Lord. Maybe one here and one there. We're still people, and trying to keep them in church is another thing. And she said, you going to have vacation Bible school? I said, yes, ma'am. We're going to have vacation Bible school. Lord willing, we're going to have it. But, man, you got to stir yourself up. You got to stir your love up for God. Because if not, you'll get cold. You'll come sitting in here. I mean, the temperature's getting nice and cold in here, but you don't want to be like that. You want to be stirred up by God. And you want to have the songs mean something to you. It used to be, man, when everything's going good, I noticed this, when everything's going good and everything's right, man, people are excited. But war, you let a little trouble come. A little trouble come in your life, and you'll start, where's God at? Where's God at? You start mealy-mouthing God. You better be careful about that. But here in the tribulation, here we're going into tribulation here in Matthew chapter 24, and the Jews, because it says they're betraying one another. You know what Jesus said? He said a father shall deliver his son, to judgment and all that stuff. And man, Michael put on our family, Marco Polo. They found another dead body in Dover, murder. So you got all these murders going on, you got people killing each other, you got over 100 shootings last weekend, 4th of July weekend, 100 shootings, and 24 died. 24 people, and children dying. And man, what happens is you hear so much about dying and people killing each other, you get immune to it. You go, well, that's another one. As long as they kill each other, that's all right. No, they're heaven or hell. Somewhere, they're going somewhere. Tribulation, man, people going to go through all kinds of hell. That's why we're trying to reach kids, trying to make sure they get saved. Nikki's mom and dad just passed away. Thank God they said the name of Christ. They got saved. Thank God. You said, well, they didn't really go to church, didn't really live for the Lord like they should. But, I mean, that's not up for us to judge. But they were saved. They said they were. And we need to pray for the family. Thank God they got in, amen, got in. Thank God they're saved. And we see a lot of, Clinton was asking me today, he said, does it get discouraging? You see people saved and you don't see them stick? And doesn't that discourage you? I said, we've seen hundreds of people save my house. We've seen hundreds, probably in the thousands saved here. But do they stick? Not all of them do. You say, why? What happens? The Bible tells you what happens. It says in Mark chapter 5, it says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, choke the word in them. It'll choke them. And that's only if they allow it. You only allow yourself to get choked. I said, you know what happens to a lot of people? I've told guys that worked here, come to church here. I said, don't get a job that's going to take you away from God. Oh, no, you don't understand. The money is all about the money. You should never, ever judge things according to the money. Never. You say, Lord, what should I do? That's what the attitude ought to be. Lord, what should I do? It's real good money, Lord. But is it going to take me away from you? I don't want no part of it. I told many of the guys that came to church here, I said, don't take shift work because it'll take you away from God. And they said, oh, no, preacher, no. We'll be there Sunday night. We'll be there making good. You don't understand, preacher, it's a lot of good money. Then they lost their jobs, and then they're too ashamed to come back to church. And then what happens is you get so tired, but you don't even care anymore. Your love waxed cold. Love for who? God. You get to a place where you say, I don't even care no more. I'm tired, man. I'm just wore out. I want some sleep. And it's just what you do. I had a job one time driving a track and trailer. I was running the company. It was hauling pulpwood from Scottsville, Virginia to Spring Grove, Pennsylvania. And I knew the Lord wanted me to go to Bible school. I had already been in Bible school. And I went down, picked out the truck's Freightliner. It was 1979. I picked out brand new 79 Freightliner. I went and I prayed about it. It had a Cat 280 in it. And I said, I prayed about it that night. We already bought it. And I told the guy that was fronting the money, I said, I called him that night. I said, man, I ain't got no peace about that truck. I said, that's the wrong truck. And he goes, whatever you say, preacher. He said, whatever you want to do. I said, I'm going to go back. We're going to get another. Can we change that? He said, no problem. We'll change it. He said, I gave him the money. And this guy had a roofing business, and he wanted to start in his pulpwood business. So I went back to that place, and I said, that's the wrong truck. We need more motor. We need a better Henderson suspension. We need, I was going through all the thing. And the guy gave us a Freightliner with a 350 Cummins in it. Back then, 350, that was a lot of power. Now today, they got 400 or 500 horsepower, Cummins and all that. And I love them with turbos. Oh, man, I love that stuff. And they got some power to them. But I picked out this Freightliner, had a 350 in it, and we drove it. That was the right truck, man, going into the woods, carrying wood out, trees out, and all that stuff, and heading for Pennsylvania to the pulp mill, paper mill. And I drove it up there, brand new orange body, man, brand new everything, brand new. And then he said, I want to get another one. So I went out, picked out a candy apple red cab over with a 350 Cat in it. And the Cat costs a lot more money. You can buy two Cummins for one Cat. And Caterpillar motor. So I bought that. Man, that thing would fly. And, you could pull it. It didn't have the Henderson suspension. I learned from that. I said, Henderson suspension is too much suspension for the thing. I said, we need to get airbags. And it rides smoother because that thing will beat you half to death, that Henderson suspension. So, man, we got these trucks. And he says, Alan, you run the business. It's yours. I'll pay you. I'll buy you a house. I'll do this and that. And, man, the Lord hit me and said, you're supposed to be in Bible school. 1979. I went to school first in 77, but I dropped out, then I wanted to go back. If I would have stayed, man, you talking about temptation, money, a house in Virginia. It would have been in Virginia, Scottsville, Virginia. And I said, no. I said, I'll train drivers for you, but I'm leaving. And then it was time for me to leave. I didn't have the money to go. The guy got mad at me. But I said, I know God wants me in Bible school. It should never be about the money. Thank God for money. Thank God for a good job. Man, I hope you ain't complaining about your job. But man, thank God for the money. The Bible tells you to be content with the wages that you have. But anyway, that's another message. But anyway, you start looking towards money, you'll be deceived. So I told them guys, I said, it'll kill you spiritually. If you chase the money, it'll kill you spiritually. You know what I've seen? I hate to say that I was right. I hate to say it. But every one of them used to sing in the choir, used to be on fire. They ain't doing it no more. You can't even get a holy grunt out of them anymore. What happened? It says, verse 13. No, I'll back up further. 10. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets, talking about tribulation, shall rise, shall deceive many. And see, you say, is this what happened with David correct? No, you have a buildup towards it. Right now, we're having a buildup towards this mess. In America, around the world, there's a buildup. And it's building towards that. It's building towards that time. So you say, what happens? If the rapture takes place, folks, the church goes out, you're saved, you go out of here. You'll go out of here. Then all the world goes into chaos, real chaos. And then if one guy steps out, that have answers. And he's called the Antichrist. He'll be a genius. And so the Lord's telling you about this day coming. And it's building up. And so that's why you think, what in the world happened? When Donald Trump got into office, everybody went crazy. The world went crazy. I mean, he's saying stuff too. I mean, he can't keep his mouth shut, but he says stuff. But I like what he's saying. It just, you know why? Because they're globalists. And he threw a wrench in the whole plan and said, America first. That threw a wrench in everything. Thank God he is doing that. I say, what happens if he loses and Joe Biden gets in? Guess what? It's going to speed up. See, what Donald Trump's done, he slowed it down. It's going to happen. This is going to happen. It's building, but he slowed it down. God allowed him to get in there to slow the system down. That's why he looks like he's wore out, because the system is fighting him. And the whole system is going to be, and if Joe Biden gets in, the Democrats come in, we know what's coming. Constitution's gone. We become a third world country. He said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just keep living for God. If Joe Biden gets president, you keep living for God. Keep trying to win souls to Christ. That's what you're supposed to do. And you say, well, I'm just going to, you hear, right now there's more people committing suicide than any other time. And there's going to be people doing it then. But man, I tell you what, right now is a time you need to be living for God, doing what's right. Stay in church. Stay in a Bible-believing church, not just any church. It says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. A false prophet is not going to tell you what the Bible says. A false prophet is going to tell you, he'll take a verse and try to twist it and try to tell you, well, you need to listen to me. And you need to follow what I say. A false prophet is going to lead you in the wrong place. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if a man was a false prophet and his prophecy didn't come to pass at what he was preaching or talking about, they said the whole nation was, if they found it, take him out and stone him. That's what the Old Testament said. Take a false prophet out. Now, we got a lot of false prophets on TV. I can name a bunch of them. Oh, Joel Osteen is one of them. Joel Osteen is a false prophet. And people, you know, now I'd say John Hagee, he's still preaching somewhat about the Lord coming back, but he's, you know, he's got this false prophet stuff in him. Kenneth Copeland, he's another false prophet. Who else is it? A bunch of them out there. People are sending thousands and millions of dollars to him every day. The Pope is the false prophet. He is the number one false prophet. And look at here. It says in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know that's not talking about us. A lot of preachers, even some Baptists, are preaching that you've got to endure to the end. I don't have to endure to the end of nothing. I don't have to endure to the end of nothing. Maybe my life, if my life is a miserable wreck, I can endure to the end of that. But my life is not a miserable wreck. I just enjoy my life. I enjoy serving God. You don't have to have a miserable, enduring life. You can have an enjoyable life. You don't have to be miserable. He said, he that endured the end, same shall be saved. End of what? It's the end of the tribulation. Because that's what he's talking about. Look at this. So how do you know? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it's near the end of the tribulation period. He said, he that endured the end. He said, what do you mean, endure the end? You don't receive the mark of the beast. You don't, you know, this has been a lot of stuff said that they come out with this pandemic, vaccine. They're saying Bill Gates is pushing to put everybody that put their information in a little microchip type in the vaccine to shoot it in your arm. So all they got to do is scan you and they'll know everything about your blood. And if say it sounds good. It really does. Somebody's in an accident and they're unconscious. They're about to die. They can take a scanner and go over that and scan that thing. It's they're type B positive. They're allergic to this. They're allergic to that. And they can know everything about you, right? Boom. Sounds good. Sounds real good. The only time that thing's going to be bad is when it's connected to the Antichrist. So what happens is, what happens if they come out with a anesthesia? Vaccine. I keep forgetting. What if they come out with a vaccine? They say, okay, you got to take this vaccine. And it's going to have your microchip in it. Would you do it? I've never taken a flu shot. I did one time. And that I was sick more that year than any other time. I ain't going to take one, I can tell you that. They'll say, well, you can't. What happens is, like Mike Veach was telling me, they're saying to go to Israel, now Israel's on lockdown. He said, we're finding out now, if we go to Israel, we're going to have the vaccine and some information about whether we, without lying, they got to know that you took it. You can falsify papers, but if you got a chip in you, they can check it. So there goes world travel. And it says, the gospel of the kingdom, and this is not the gospel you and I are preaching. We're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In the tribulation period, they're going to be preaching the kingdom cometh. The kingdom's coming. We only got a few more years, the kingdom's coming. Because in Matthew 25, you'll find Jesus sitting on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel and then the world nations. You'll find him doing that. The kingdom cometh. So when is it in? Well, it ain't yet. It's a good ways off. It's a good ways. When is the rapture? I don't know. It's getting close. You know, look on down what it says. We'll read the rest of this. It says, verse 15, when these therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That right there tells you if the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, the temple's got to be rebuilt. Well, how do you know that? Look at the verse. Standing in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. So the Antichrist, when he shows up, I asked the Jews when I was over in Israel, I asked in that Temple Institute, I said, how long would it take you guys to put the temple up? He told me, I said, you got the Dome of the Rock up there in the place of the temple. He said, we can remove it. I said, you'll start World War III. He said, no. He said, the Muslims got two holy sites. We don't have none. I said, but you'll start World War III if you take that temple, their temple down. And the Muslims jumped right in there when Israel was exiled. They jumped right in there and built that Dome of the Rock on top of where the temple goes. So I asked him, I said, how long would it take you? He said, 3 months. We got everything. So if the Antichrist steps out, the rapture takes place, the Antichrist steps out, they can have that temple up in 3 months, and they'll dedicate that thing. And within the latter part of the 7 years, about midway, the Antichrist is going to step in about midway. He'll step in there and say, I'm God, worship me. And all hell's going to break loose. Look what it says. And whosoever shall read it, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, this is how serious it is. when the Antichrist, when the temple's rebuilt, and the Antichrist goes in there and sits down on the throne in there and claims as the throne, and he says, I'm God, worship me. And the Bible says that he's going to be wounded in Daniel, book of Daniel chapter 7. He'll be wounded and his wound on to death. And it says, then let them be, which be in Judea flee into the mountains. There's a lot of mountains around Israel. Let them which are on the housetop not come down to take anything out of their house. There's a lot of people that they have these porches. Their porches are on the housetop, and it's not on the front, like in America. Their porches up top. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. They said, man, just jump off the roof. Get out of there. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, our sister Sam, she's getting ready to have a baby. Now, it's not going to affect you. This is not affecting us. But the Lord comes back, you know, be different. I mean, for these folks, it's going to affect. He says, neither let him which in the field return. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then shall be great tribulation. See that thing? The latter part of the tribulation is going to be great. He says, such as that was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. It's saying this is going to be the worst time in all history. So when you read Revelation 5, 6, actually 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's what it's talking about. A third part of the sea being wiped, a third part of ships, and it's going to be, this is nothing what we're going through in America, around the world. This is nothing compared to what's going to happen. It's building up towards it. And it says, woe unto them that are with child. So back up to verse, go down to 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor shall ever be, except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. Isn't that something? But for the elect's sake, you look at this. I was telling Clinton today. I said, back in the generation before me, they would have never yielded to what's going on now. Amen. Never yielded. They would have said no. I mean, they would have yielded to a point, but that was it. I mean, because you got that Spanish pandemic, they yielded somewhat to that. But then if you go back to that generation, they stood up. But look at the generations going on. They got weaker and weaker. And the kids today would yield to whatever, long as they can get something free. Amen. Long as it's given to me, it'd be fine. I'll take it. The government can run my life. And that's what those kids on the street, Antifa and all that, that's what they're pushing for. Free everything. And the Black Lives Matter is just a political organization just pushing an agenda.
Right.
But it says, what verse are we at? 22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. Who's the elect? That's the Jew. It's not Christians. Your Christians aren't even here. Those days should be shortened. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There's going to be people saying, oh, Jesus has showed up. He's on the earth. He's out there in the desert. So don't believe it. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders. See, all these TV preachers, they claim they got the apostolic accession. Kenneth Copeland said, I watched the thing where he said, I'm blowing the pandemic away from us. Cuckoo, crazy, stupid. You got these guys and people claiming they're prophets and they're apostles and all that crazy stuff. They're just a bunch of kooks. They don't know what they're talking about. They couldn't even blow a cigarette out from them smoking. We ain't got time to go. I don't want to get too long. We'll get in this next time. Brother Ken.